swept technique. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Ocho says, I'm tempted to bet Moneyline Lamar out of spite because McNeese is so good. Will Wade's done a good job in McNeese. I have that on the TV. They're about to tip here. I'm pulling for Lamar. Alvin Brooks, former Houston assistant, right. Former Houston head coach, actually, is the head coach at Lamar. He's doing a good job there. They were the 2 seed. And they're playing for a chance to get into the NCAA tournament. I'll have my eyes on it, Ocho. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP listener line. So I'm ready to add Kyle Tucker to the boo list. I know that you're not a booer. I'm not really a booer either. I just want the fans to boo these guys. When Alex Bregman returns to Houston, I want him to be booed. I wouldn't have felt that way if he went to Detroit or even Chicago. Like, yeah, it's in the National League. If he went to Toronto, whatever. You kind of exiled from the country anyways. But because he went to Boston and all these Boston bros all of a sudden are making him America's sweetheart, I'm booing Alex Bregman. I don't like one bit of it. I hadn't really spent much time talking about Tucker. I remember you used Tucker as a counterpoint to Bregman. And I was like, no, it's way different because they traded him. But then Kyle Tucker started running his mouth, and I'm like, I'm ready to boo his butt too. I'm ready to boo Kyle Tucker as well. And look, I don't think that Kyle Tucker is doing anything wrong, really. Like, I understand you have to play the PR game. You have to do the whole cliches, one game at a time, all that junk. But Kyle Tucker talking to some Chicago media, and this is why I'm ready for him to be booed as well.
Like I said, you know, pretty much right when I got traded over here, I don't think I could have gone to a much better organization than the Cubs. I mean, the fan base here is, you know, second to none.
What? He hasn't played one game at Wrigley, at least in a Cub uniform, and they're second to none? He's already poo-pooing on Houston, and I understand that he's just doing the PR thing. He has to say this because he's donning that completely useless by September uniform. I get all of that, but I don't have to like that. I'm ready to boo Kyle Tucker. All of you that wore the King crowns whenever he was going to right field, he's saying you guys are second to Chicago fans out there in right field. The bleacher bums are better than you. When Kyle Tucker comes back to Houston, you need to turn those crowns upside down and stick them where the sun don't shine. And boo them. And boo Kyle Tucker.
Turn the crowns upside down is very – I like that. From me, you know, I'm not a booer.
You can thank The Rock.
But my big thing is just the fact that I don't wish – I hope they both suck this year. I don't wish injury on them, but I hope they suck. And, you know, Kyle Tucker had it pretty easy here because – as we have said, and I have said, and I don't think that when you get to markets, Houston's so totally different from being the fourth largest, soon to be third largest city in America. When you look at the way L.A., New York, and even Chicago media deal with their professional sports teams. And Kyle Tucker got a really easy walk through it when he was here. Whether he was good or bad, he didn't have to face a whole lot of heat, especially even with last year with the injury and everything else. I think that when you go to a market like Chicago, if you don't play well, you are going to feel it on a daily basis. And they don't care. And they're going to come at you. And I think that it was kind of a BS statement. I understand you got to play the game because you're in a new market and you want to fit in and all those things. But for me, regardless of whether you boo them or not, to me, it's the same way Bregman overdid it when he got to Boston. And so for me, it's like, I hope they both have subpar years. I hope they struggle. I hope that Cam Smith continues to look like a guy that everybody can be happy that the deal was made if they didn't like it when it was first made and say, hey, we did okay in that deal, and they did what the organization hasn't been willing to do in the past. So it's a great deal for the Astros, and oh, by the way, Kyle Tucker, suck it. That'd be great.
Man, look, I understand that Tucker said what he was supposed to say. I get all of that. I get all of it. But as a fan, you're also not necessarily required to like it. And it's all – look, fandom's also supposed to be fun, right? Like, isn't there an element of, like, having fun when you go to the ballpark? Is it fun to just be like, oh, yeah, he was okay here and then choked in the playoffs, like, yay, Tucker? Or is it more fun to be on your feet – yelling things to the guy within reason, you know, don't take it too far, but yell things within reason to the guy, boo you, Kyle Tucker, you could have re-signed here. Like that to me is far more entertaining than the whole sit on your hands and like pay a healthy respect. Like it's not a former president. Like he's a right fielder. He's probably going to enjoy it too. Like you think Alex Bregman, when he comes into Houston and he gets booed, you think that he's not going to enjoy that? Like he's going to enjoy that too. Like this is the fun in sports. I remember Barry Bonds coming into Minute Maid Park when he was chasing Henry Aaron's record. And everybody was like, or actually, no, it wasn't Aaron's record. It was whenever he was chasing He was actually chasing McGuire's record whenever he came into town. He was chasing the single season record. And look, everybody was booing him every time he came to the plate. Like, it's fun. Like, those things are memories. Like, don't just play the whole, oh, yeah, we were pleased with what you did here. Boo the guy. Boo him.
It'll be interesting when they play, too, simply because of the fact that time will have passed to see how they react. Because I think both guys got treated extremely, extremely well here. And they do have to – look, I think J.J. Watt was the ultimate in terms of knowing how to play everything from the day he set foot in a new city when he got drafted here, especially because there was people that were questioning whether the Texans should have drafted him when they did. I think that, you know, everybody handles it their own way. I know from personal experience there were guys that never – Sterling Sharp and James Lofton that were Packer receivers, they never forgot that they got drafted, they got booed, and they flipped off the crowd, and they were ticked off the rest of their career. Kyle Tucker said what he had to say to fit into a new place, but when they come here or when they play the Astros, I would think that he has good things to say. If you're a fan and you don't like it and you want to go get him, go get him. I don't care. I personally just leave my thought process to, I hope they have really subpar years and suck.
Yeah. I'm with you. Because you want the Astros to come out ahead of things.
Yep.
Like, if they let Alex Bregman go and he doesn't have a good year, it's like, okay. Even though they did give him what I thought was way too much of an offer, but hey, he didn't sign it, so no harm done. And then it'd be kind of funny if Cam Smith plays right field and then he outproduces Kyle Tucker in year one.
If Paredes, we talked about this, it's going to be fun to watch. If Paredes puts up better numbers than Bregman's last year in Houston, and on top of that, if he puts up better numbers than Bregman puts up in Boston, those are going to be two things to watch, too, because then you know Dana Brown did his job, and thank God Bregman didn't sign that contract.
Yeah, it will be interesting. 713-780-ESPN, HRMP, listener line. I posted this on Twitter the other day, and I had some fans that commented on me and said that they had some off-the-field like encounters with Kyle Tucker, and they didn't have great things to say.
Really?
About Kyle Tucker. They say he was kind of a jerk.
I think he's one of those guys that seems to be a complete introvert. From people that I talked to that had dealt with him on somewhat regular basis, were saying that, you know, it took a lot to get him to come out of his shell, but then all of a sudden he was kind of, the last couple of years, he was into, you know, fashion and wearing his Jordans, not coveralls. And he was kind of with the people around the team and the media, he had loosened up a little bit. But that's why I'm curious, too. Like, I really do. I think that the media was very, very kind to him when he was here, even when he struggled. And I'm curious to see how the Chicago media treats him and how he handles it.
Texter, sensitive Astro fans. It's not really sensitivity. Like, it's more about the entertainment element of it. Like, I think it's more fun. I think that there is entertainment value if you add a little bit of suspense and intrigue to random series over what is a pretty mundane 162-game schedule. Like, all of a sudden, you put some emphasis on when Boston comes to town. I don't even know if Chicago comes to town this year. But you put some emphasis on whenever you play Kyle Tucker for the first time and he's not in an Astros uniform. To me, baseball needs things like that over 162 to get through the 162 regular game season. So, to me, it's more about, you know, the drama and the entertainment than it is about being sensitive.
Look at it.
I really don't care that much.
You look at the NBA that just got a huge spike when the Luka Dallas trade happened because of the fact that now you're looking forward to when those two teams play. You're seeing the guys in the different cities, and that's part of, like you said, salvages what is an extremely long adventure when you take on season to season with these different teams. So I think that the sidebars and all that drama, It's absolutely something that keeps everything going in what can otherwise be a very, very long year, especially if your team's not successful.
I think that's why we sensationalize everything in baseball. Like, you threw a fastball close to my shoulder. I'm really mad at you. Like, I think that's part of it. It's because the season's so long. You're playing every day. Like, emotions are a little bit on edge. Whereas, like, other sports, like it kind of happens. Like, they're kind of sensitive in basketball, too. Maybe football, they're just known to be a little bit more physical. I don't know.
So,
but
the
they
seasons
sensationalize
are too
everything.
Long?
Oh,
I wouldn't say they're too long.
I mean, you guys just spent the last, we got to have all these things to get through the season. It's so long. It's like, I think we're pretty sure a couple of days ago a genius suggested we shorten the season.
Easy genius. What we're saying is from a media perspective, it's hard to find the narratives on a day-to-day basis.
Because the season's too long.
Brian. Yeah. Brian trying to find any way to get in here.
Yeah.
Bregman's numbers at Fenway are crazy. That is true. I am a bit scared about that. not only are his numbers crazy at Fenway, but it's also the second best offensive ballpark all of last season. Only one better was Coors, so like I do think he's going to have a good year. Hindsight, was it good not re-signing Cole in 19? Yes. Mm-hmm. Verlander in 23? Yeah.
Well, but then you went and traded for him and gave up two top prospects for him.
That haven't done anything yet. I'm still holding out hope that they don't make it.
See, there you go. That's what I'm saying. Just root for those guys to have sucky seasons. Same kind of thing.
I'm still petty about that.
Yeah.
Yeah, hopefully he doesn't pay. Like, Verlander was still critical to that year's team.
Yeah, and you know, and the thing is, there's a lot of fans that are kind of got their undies in a bundle now with guys when they leave the team. It can't all be Freddie Freeman when he leaves Atlanta, right? It can't all be the, I never wanted to leave, and I always loved that place, and blah, 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 blah. And part of the business aspect of it is thick skin, and guys just move on. And when they move on, a lot of times, if it didn't end well or the way they wanted it to, they're bitter and they're going to say whatever they want to say. And you just have to deal with that too.
Yeah. I don't think Bregman and Tucker have been bitter per se. I just want to
shoot.
I don't anticipate that they will, but Tucker saying that the Cubs fans are second to none. He hasn't played a game at Wrigley in a Cub uniform and he's already putting down the Astros. I know he didn't mean to put down the Astros, but it's putting down the Astro fan base. Mm-hmm. And then The Bregman boo and why I'm trying to build a campaign there really had nothing to do with Bregman. It's more these bros that are like, yay, Bregman, he's so cool. He's one of us. Like, he's Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, and, like, he's already as good as Brady. Like, bro, he hasn't even played a game as a Red Sox uniform, and you called this guy a cheater a few years ago.
I was just
going
to say, yeah, you booed the hell out of him and hated him when he was with an Astro uniform on.
Like, Bregman's more the symbol for those Boston bro behavior than it is my disdain for Bregman. But Bregman is the symbol for it, so I want to boo that symbol. A texter hoping for a similar situation. When we lost Correa and Pena stepped up, hopefully that'll happen with Cam Smith. It is interesting, like, how many fans are like, yeah, we should, like, still say, like, we should have paid Correa. It's like, well, he hasn't lived up to his contract, one. And then, two, you literally won a World Series the very next year that Correa was gone. How are you still saying that the Astros should have paid Correa? Like, that one to me doesn't add up at all. And then last text on this, I agree. I boot Olajuwon as a Raptor. Team Ooh. First. H emoji, flex emoji. That is an interesting one. I would never boo him.
Ooh, I would never boo Dream. No, especially at that point in his career.
But I kind of like this guy's attitude, though. Like, it's Houston before player, because I agree with that. It's we before me. It's team before player. I have a loyalty to the Houston across the chest, not the player that's
Houston
leading
against
Houston.
The world.
So I admire it.
Yeah, Houston against everybody.
I couldn't boo Akeem personally, but I like where your mind's at. You're a bigger savage than me. I respect it. All right, 713-780-3776. Cam Smith, 0-for-3 today, by the way. Two strikeouts, just saying. Roster watch 2025. If we assume that Cam Smith starts the season on the opening day roster, which is a huge if, we understand that, but we're making the assumption for the sake of the conversation. Would you rather see him as the everyday third baseman or as the everyday right fielder? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Being a homeowner comes with a lot of responsibility and cost. Own Will's here to help you with both of those things. Let them take a little bit off your plate, but also save you some money. Put some bucks back in your pocket. A lot of homeowners are overpaying on property taxes, and it should not be you. Head to ownwell.com and sign up in less than 3 minutes to get their experts fighting for you. Cutting-edge technology, which can start saving you money with zero upfront cost. You pay nothing upfront. Put your property tax savings back in your pocket, reinvest it, take the family on a vacation, take your co-host out for a drink, whatever, however you want to spend that money. OwnWell handles it all from start to finish and delivers top results. No upfront costs, as we mentioned. Only pay if you save. Can't beat that. You're only paying if you save? It's outstanding. OwnWell levels the playing field and eliminates the concern of paying too much on property tax for the everyday home and property owner like you and me. The deadline to protest is May 15th. Don't run out of time. Save money on your property taxes with OwnWell. Sign up in less than 3 minutes and start your protest today. OwnWell.com. That's OwnWell.com.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's a good song, Brian. My bad, Brian.
Good Leonard work, Brian. Skinner, Brian.
I'm waiting for the butt.
So butt.
Okay. All right. That's a little different than usual.
That's not true.
Skinner rocks.
Battery Chuck says that.
Do you feel Joel was being authentic there?
I like Leonard Skinner.
I don't know, but the way you said it did not feel like you were being genuine.
Okay.
I think he was kind of mocking an accent, maybe.
Yeah, that's kind of the the feel I got too.
You want to? You want Kevin Zietler, Blinkers?
He go. I wanted him. He go.
Yeah, Kevin Zietler. He's joining the AFC South though.
Yep.
But he's going to the Tennessee Titans.
Tell them boys to tighten up.
Forgot about that. Forgot about that drop.
I wasn't remembered about it.
Yeah, so the Titans are signing veteran guard Kevin Zietler. Don't care. He's not going to Zite here. 1 year, $9 million. So not only do you not get the what many consider the top interior offensive lineman on the market at a dollar figure that was palatable, right? $9 million.
That was exactly like we were talking his Spotrac track projection to the dollar.
Look at Spotrac. Congratulations, Spotrac.
We'll email Spotrac us back, but they can nail that one.
They give him a helmet sticker to Spotrac today. $9 million for Zietler to go to Tennessee. So double whammy as far as the Texans are concerned. You don't get the top interior offensive interior offensive line on the market, according to some, and he goes to a division rival. So not great news there for the Houston Texans.
No,
I'm wondering.
We even said we were willing to go like around 10, but we thought that would at least give you more hope that the line is fixable or they're going to bring in some veterans too. So I was very disappointed to see him go off the market because now I've got more questions than I got answers.
Well, we'll start with a few of those questions.
So like Mekhi Becton, right? Mekhi Becton is a guy that had a good year with the Eagles, but he was awful from the time that he was drafted highly by the Jets. So he's out there. And evidently he was expecting to be like one of the first offensive linemen off the market. He's still out there. But if you're the Texans, do you know what you're getting in him? Because as a member of the Eagles, yeah, he seemingly turned his career around, but he also was surrounded by an offensive line full of talent. So you hope he's not the Jets guy. You want to believe that even without the rest of the guys around him, he was the Eagles guy that got it done and won a Super Bowl. But that's the kind of guy that's still out there on the open market as opposed to veterans that played on a really good offensive line like the Lions last year that I would have liked to have felt – I would have felt better about joining the Texans.
What was the question?
What do you mean? I have questions about I have questions about guys like Becton being good going forward if he gets away from Philadelphia and their roster and their talent as opposed to – you know, guys like Zietler who come in here coming off of performing really well for the Detroit Lions. Why is that funny?
I don't know. I think that they might be done, the Texans. Like, I think that they're geared up to go into the draft with their starting offensive line being Titus Howard, Lincoln Tomlinson, who Matt Miller said could be spectacular, Jared Patterson, Juice Scruggs, and Blake Fisher. I think that they're gearing up to that being their starting offensive line entering the draft. And if they can upgrade one of those positions in the draft, great. They'll do it. But I think that that's what they're going to go with.
I hope you're wrong.
It's just the feel I got.
Yeah, I hope you're wrong. I would not be happy with that. I understand pre-draft so that lots of things can happen on the draft. Even trades can happen as part of the draft. So hopefully that there's still ways that you can kind of infuse new and veteran talent on this offensive line. But I don't trust Nick when drafting offensive linemen. I don't trust rookie offensive linemen coming into a scenario like this and making this line better than it was a year ago. So I would hope that that's not the case.
Yeah, I just get, like, because whenever we're talking to Miller, too, he's talking about, like, this not being a great interior offensive line class or offensive line class in general. Can you guarantee that a guard that you draft at 25 is better than either Tomlinson or Juice Scruggs?
No, you can't.
Yeah, so, like, money, I think, is kind of used up here. Like, it takes two to tango. Like, we can't just be like, well, you could have had him for $9 million. Like, he maybe just wants to live in Nashville. Maybe he likes country music and cold beer. I don't know. Maybe he likes the Bluebird Cafe. Like, maybe playing for Tennessee has been a lifelong dream for some weird reason. But I get the feel, just kind of putting two to two together, that this is their starting five going into the draft.
Yeah,
now, they can upgrade, but going into the draft, I think this is their starting five. In fact, like the only – like I think they drafted Tomlinson to be a starter.
I
think that they're earmarking Juice Scruggs to be a starter. I think the only person they could potentially upgrade between now and the draft is Patterson.
Yeah, and you know, listening to Matt Miller speak, he thought Tomlinson was – seemed to be very high on him to say that he was going to be a starter. So then to me – it was also interesting that he was kind of saying, well, you know, Juice could be your center, too. And I don't think that they're going to have Juice at center. But if that is indeed the case, at least I can hold out hope that that's their pre-draft offensive line and that hopefully between the draft and the start of the season that the line still has the, you know, options to improve.
Yeah, it'd be it's going to be interesting. It's going to be interesting because, like, whenever – the offensive, like, I would be fine if they brought in Becton, but it's like, okay, well, if you bring in Becton, where's he starting?
Mm-hmm.
He's starting at right guard, right? Mm-hmm. Probably. Either he and Tom, like, Tillman Tomlinson are your guards. Okay, well, who's playing center? Is it Juice? Is it Patterson? Could that help you? Sure, I think that does make you better. They've used a lot of their money already. Like, I'm not even sure how much money they have right now. Like, we talk about how they can do more restructures and all of this. They're kind of running out of guys to do restructures with.
Well, and see, and that's the thing, too. When you look at the money that's being doled out for some of these guys that have gone off the market already, where are the Texans getting that kind of money? When some of these guys, even if they didn't have stellar starts to their career, are getting paid in the $18 to $20 million a year range with multi-year deals, and you're going, I don't think the Texans right now are in a position financially to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, I that's why I get that feeling. Is the finances just kind of the way they've moved? They brought back that interior offensive lineman today. Was it Zach Martin? Like the second most popular Zach Martin to play in the NFL? Or was it Zach Taylor? I think it was Zach. I can't remember the offensive lineman's name. It's either Zach Taylor or Zach Martin. I think it might be Zach Taylor now that I ramble here. Yeah, I think this is it. I think this is your starting offensive line. And they're going to be betting on coaching, and they're going to be betting on attitude, and they're going to be betting on a culture change
system.
To uplift this offensive line. Yeah, system.
Yeah.
Yeah. I did read that Patterson is, like, more suited for this system,
mm-hmm.
that he'd be better in this system. So, I mean, no one's going to breathe easy until we see
it. No, there's nothing to, like, feel – like comfort in knowing that what you just did to unload 3/5 of your starting offensive line of a year ago, there's no comfort in what they've done so far thinking that that line's going to be better unless you're banking on system and coaching and all of that taking shape into creating change that's positive. I still wouldn't feel that great about it.
Yeah, it's fun to watch, but I think we're done. I think they're done. Hope I'm wrong. 713-780-ESPN. Let's get into the Cam Smith conversation. If I told you he's making the opening day roster, no guarantee, no lock. We know it's a huge if. But for the sake of the conversation, he's making the opening day roster. Where would you rather him be the everyday starter? Third base or right field? 713-780-3776. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Houston's independent voice for sports, ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Coming to you live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Cam Smith. 0-3 today with 2 strikeouts, but who's keeping track? Hashtag roster watch 2025. If we assume, real quick before I get into that,
okay.
What do you think the odds are Cam Smith makes the opening day roster?
I don't think they're very good. I think, look, as much as he's done, I don't know if there's a place for him because I don't think as much as you know, they love his bat. Everybody loves his bat, and that's what everybody's enamored with. I don't know that he's ready to play Major League third base, nor do I think I want to see him there yet. And I think that in terms of the outfield, they're going to let Chaz and Jake have every opportunity before they try and make a change out there. So I just don't think he's going to start the season on the roster.
So what do you think the odds are he makes the opening day roster?
20%.
Okay. I'm like at 30. I was probably like 10, 15 last week. I do think the odds have gone up.
Mm-hmm.
Would you rather see Cam Smith start 140 games and get 500 at bats in right field at the big league level, or Chaz McCormick?
Yeah, see, I don't know what Chaz I'm getting, but Cam Smith in right field to me with his bat is intriguing enough for me to say I'd rather have Cam Smith in right field with 140 at bats than Chaz McCormick.
Okay, how about the infield side of it? He plays third, you move Esoc to second. Would you rather see 140 starts for Cam at third and 500 at bats, or give those to Dubon at second base?
Yeah, I'm just not ready yet to put him at third base because it's a premium defensive position, and I just don't trust how he's going to play that position. I don't think he's ready to play third base at the major league level yet, so I would probably lean, if I have to, Dubon in that case.
Yeah, okay. I think that those would be the two spots for him, though, right, at the big league level?
Yes.
So,
yes.
To me, there is a path. To me, there are spots for him to play. And he's starting to get some outfield fly balls and all of that, and they're going through the work. And there was who was the GM, the former GM that now works on TV? Is it Bowden? It might have been Bowden. But I'm not very confident saying Bowden, but it was somebody.
No, it is. Jim Bowden was one of them. I think he's on MLB
Network.
Was
Bowden the one saying that?
Yeah,
but I don't know if he was the one that was saying this. But anyways, this guy, I think it was Bowden, was saying that they had him on the radio. They had him on MLB Network Radio or whatever, and Dana Brown's like, yeah, we're going to give him a path to win right field. They tweeted it. So it makes us think, like, okay, well, what job could he potentially win if he is on the opening day roster? So let's make the assumption, and we both think that it's a long shot that he makes the opening day roster. I think there's more benefits for him to not be called up right away, wait a bit, wait until the summer, wait a while, see how it goes in the minors. And look, maybe they're like, hey, right field's a spot for you. Well, go let him play a month in right field. Like, let him become familiar with the position instead of learning that position at the big league level. So I do rather send him to the minors. I'm with you there. But if we had to choose a spot, makes the opening day roster, we have no choice. We're the manager. We can't control us on the roster, but we're filling out the lineup. Dana Brown says, you're carrying this guy. He needs to be an everyday starter, and you can pick the position. Third base or right field? I kind of feel like I know your answer now. Which of the two would you pick?
Yeah, I'm taking right field. I just feel like if offensively you get anything close to what we've seen, and that's the combination of power and he can hit a little bit, he can go the opposite field, which is nice. And the fact that I think that he's athletic enough that he can play right field at a decent level, I'm going to take outfield. I just think that at a premium position like third base, and especially with two ground ball pitchers in your starting rotation, I would rather him be in the outfield.
Yeah, I'm pro outfield here too. I really think he's a first baseman long term, but I think he's a first baseman that's young in his career and still young in his athletic career, that he's capable of playing other spots. Like, I think he can handle third base probably at a below average level. I think he can handle left field. I think he can handle right field. Like, he can move around. He can run a little bit, and obviously he has a big arm if he can play third base. So I would go right field as well. The only hang-up that I have here is the guy that it's kicking out of the lineup. Because if Cam Smith is inserted in the lineup, that means one guy who we have penciled in as the everyday starter is now kicked out of the lineup. And obviously, if it's in right field, now you're kicking out Chaz. If it's at third base, then you're kicking out Dubon. I think Chaz is a better offensive player than Dubon. Over the course of his career, he's been a far better offensive player than Dubon. So that would be my hang-up there. But to me, it does make more sense. Cam in right. Chaz becomes your fourth outfielder that shares time with Jake in center. Now, you know, you could even kick around the idea of moving Altuve back to second base because Chaz could play left, Altuve could play second, Dubon's now your super utility guy. So you could even do that. Like, if you're, well, we want Chaz in the lineup instead of Dubon, but Cam Smith needs to be our right fielder. Okay, well, Chaz in your noodle arm, you go back to left. Jose Altuve, we really appreciate your effort in spring, you know, learning left field, but we still think second base is the position for you right now. And then you move him back to second base and Dubon's out of the lineup that way.
Could you also consider that you can move Chaz to center field? Like, if Jake just isn't hitting, no matter what his defense brings, and we know Chaz can play decent defense in center field, that if you want to keep Chaz's bat in the lineup, that maybe Jake is the guy that ends up going to the bench and Chaz plays center field, and then you can do all the other things that you said.
You can. Yes, that would be on the table. That would be an option. I don't think it would be that high of an option for them because they seem really, really convinced that Jake Meyers is their everyday center fielder. And everything they say, I mean, he's like, we sit here and we like praise Cam Smith for the spring training he's having. Jake Meyers is having a huge spring training. Why isn't he getting love? Because he's not the new guy?
Well, because we've seen it not translate to the regular season. We've seen him just not be able to be consistent offensively. So, and we've seen multiple seasons of it to not expect that when we haven't seen anything from Cam Smith and we know that he was the centerpiece in the big trade. And so there's, I guess, more optimism.
Yeah, Jake Meyers had a better season offensively than Chaz did last year. He's a better defender, and he's having a better spring training. Like, I'm not ready to say that Chaz should be the center fielder over Jake Meyers.
No, I'm just saying that was an option to consider.
No, it would be. It would be. Like, that's why I said fourth outfielder, unless you're willing to move Altuve back to second. But if you're not, then he's a fourth outfielder, and he's sharing time with Jake Meyers in center field. Like, yeah, that would be something that's on the table.
No, absolutely. And, you know, your options – for the most part, because of what you're dealing with, are limited because those guys are both questionable offensively, no matter what they've done in their career or in the case of Jake, what he's doing this spring. So that's why I've been so leery about with them both in the outfield that I would love to have somebody else as an option in right field.
Yeah, I'm more okay with the idea of Meyers in center field than you are. Mm-hmm. I can live with a defensive first center fielder. Like, it's a premium defensive position. He's going to help you prevent runs. Now, it doesn't mean you have to play him every day. Like, you can be pretty specific. Like, if Chaz in this scenario becomes your fourth outfielder, okay, whenever you have ground ball guys on the mound, Chaz McCormick, go play center field. When Fromber and Hunter Brown are pitching that day, you're – like, importance for a defensive-minded center fielder go down. So you can get a bat out there. Now, fly ball pitchers, like Eric Geddy's a fly ball guy. Verlander was a fly ball guy. Well, that's a day where you need to have Jake Meyers in center field. So you can kind of, instead of platooning those guys based on lefty-righty, because they're both righties, mm-hmm. you can platoon the guy based on who your starting pitcher is. If Fromber and Hunter Brown, ground ball guys, are starting, we'll go with your better bat, even though Jake was better offensively last year and in spring training. And then whenever you have a fly ball guy, you go with your defensive guy. That can catch the fly balls like Meyers. Tyler and Conroe, I'd rather him be in right field, but rather him start the season in double-A so that absolute cornball swab can't brag about being right one time in his entire life. Tyler and Conroe doesn't seem to like Swabby a whole lot.
What was Swab saying?
He's been saying that Cam Smith's going to start on the opening day roster and he has receipts and a bunch of stuff. Schwab has been right, though. Like, he's been pretty right about some stuff. Chaz and Jake need to be gone. I'd rather see Melton and Cam take over. Young or not, just roll the dice. See, again, I don't mind Jake as your center fielder. He saves a lot of runs. If he's your nine-hole hitter and saves a bunch of runs defensively, you can do a lot worse than Jake Meyers. But I am intrigued about Jacob Melton this year. He got a late start to camp, left-handed bat. Maybe he can emerge as that left-handed bat for the Astros. High speed, high power, like pretty good defender. So I am intrigued by him, but I don't think he breaks camp. Pena came in.
No, I was going to say, on Melton, I'm intrigued. I don't think he starts the regular season on this roster, but I think that he's a guy that in short order could be called up like they did a year ago when they were trying to see other guys, some of their young players and what they can do on the big league level.
Pena came in and played a premium defensive position pretty well right away, reached draw. They're much different profiles, though. Like, Pena was known as a defender. Mm-hmm. Cam Smith's not known as a defender. He can handle the defense, but he's known for his bat. So, like, completely different profiles there.
I'm sorry, Jeremy. The big thing for me, too, is just Cam Smith's body type doesn't tell you that he is going to be on the field for his defense. He is a massive human being. Yes, he's athletic, but to me, I think you nailed it. I think he like Yordan until we found out that first base wasn't going to be in the cards for Yordan, but I think more so he's a guy that's a first base, more long-term outfield type guy, especially because he's got a good arm that if he could learn to play corner outfield, that he's probably long-term destined for one of those two spots.
They used to do that. They used to have this, the Cardinals did with Pujols. The Pujols would either play third, left, right. Like, they could never figure out where to put them. It was athletic enough to handle those positions, but then eventually became a first baseman. I think that Cam Smith's eventually going to have to do that. Jake Meyers had a promising career until that shoulder injury. Pawpaw tried to tell them not to bring Jake back too soon. Yeah, Pawpaw was right about that. And it did seem like he lost some potential since that shoulder injury, especially on the offensive end. The booty guy is worse than Swab. I don't know who the booty guy is. Do y'all know who the booty guy is?
Who's the booty guy?
I don't know, but it's a terrible nickname.
Yeah, it's awful. I'm like,
not a nickname I would want to have.
I hope that's not in their Twitter handle.
Yeah, Texter, who is the booty guy? Be a little bit more specific. I'm not aware of the booty guy.
Josh Booty was the quarterback, like Swab. Right? LSU?
Yeah. I don't think it's who he's talking about.
No,
I don't think so either.
No.
I don't mind Swab. Like, people think Swab and I don't get along, but I don't mind Swab. Swab and I get along.
We had him on the air, right?
Oh, he said, we did. I like Swab. I like Swab. We have some disagreements on things, but that doesn't mean we don't like each other, because we disagree about sports means we don't like each other. Blankers and I disagree about sports all the time, and we really like each other. Okay, Brian and I disagree about sports, but actually we don't like each other, so I guess that would work there. Oh, he said he meant booth, not booty. He spelled it wrong.
Oh.
He spelled it wrong.
Jeremy,
he spelled it
booth.
Was it a typo? Because the A, H and the Y are close to each other. You think this was a typo, or you think this was intentional? Or was it an autocorrect and he just types booty a lot?
Well, that could be it. Yeah, they are close.
So Deshaun
Watson. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, because I don't think voice text is going to do that.
The booty guy is going to be on with Paul Gallant routinely during the baseball season on ESPN 97.5. I wonder, why do you think the booty guy is worse? I like the booty guy. I don't think he's going to appreciate being called the booty guy. I think Booth's a really good baseball guy. I think he knows his baseball. I think he's really smart. He played baseball, was a minor leaguer. He is in baseball.
Mm-hmm.
I understand people think he's a little bit arrogant with his baseball talks, but I like conviction. Like, I have no problem with that. 713-780-ESPN. Let's go out to the HRNP listener line. Philip, you're in the Hive. What's up, Philip?
Hey, guys. Just think you're overthinking it a little bit on trying to get everybody in their batting spot, and this is their spot in the lineup, and let's pencil them in for 600 plate appearances. I just, every year you go back and look at it. I mean, Tucker missed months last year. Altuve recently had a year where he missed months. There's just bound to be a situation here where we're going to miss a guy for a couple months, or maybe a couple of guys for a month at a time. And I think in the long run, all the plate appearances are going to even out, and guys are going to get their rest days. And I'm excited because they're building a roster that has most of their core guys can play multiple positions. And we're talking about Altuve in left and maybe seeing a little bit of time at second. You know, Paredes at second and third. You know, Cam Smith maybe showing up at third, but also maybe right field. I mean, McCormick going into center field and some right. And then also, as far as the defense goes, it's not just, okay, we got a ground ball pitcher today. It's also, hey, you're up 3-1 and it's the seventh inning and Chaz just batted. Why don't we just take Chaz out of the game and go with Jake in center? You know, so there'll be some in-game where you're not going to get a full game out of these guys anyways. And just based on situational baseball, you're going to make the maximum effort value-wise with the offense-defense trade-off inside each game, not just going into the game. And that's all I'll say. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks.
I mean, thanks for the call, Philip. Look, I think this is what you do going into the start of the regular season. We chop it up and hot stove it and ponder the possibilities, just like you did with all the different things that you said. We can ponder what can be, what might be, could be, should be, and maybe some things that we haven't even factored in, because I think Jacob Melton's a guy that's not factoring into a lot of people's minds right now. I think that he might be on their radar by the All-Star break.
Yeah, I think by the All-Star break, not opening day.
No.
Touche. Like, Philip, you're right. Yeah. You are right. Now, I don't think they do that with Cam Smith, though. Like, I think Cam Smith's the type of prospect where you want to give him one position and you don't move him around. Now, if somebody gets injured and, like, hey, we need a third baseman for 3 weeks, that changes things. But I think that they're going to be pretty particular about Cam Smith's positional usage. But you're right about everything else you said, Philip. You nailed it. 713-780-ESPN. Some of the Hivers, go ahead.
Jeremy, the other thing that you and I have talked about, and I think it's going to be a really interesting decision if he doesn't end up on the opening day roster, is I think that more and more, I know that the texter said double A. I think Cam ends up in Sugarland playing right field if he isn't on the opening day, or some right field as well as third base, if he doesn't open up on the opening day roster.
Yeah, I mean, to me, it doesn't really matter if it's Sugarland or Corpus. To me, it's more about learning the position, and that way we can get you up here as quick as we can. We'll see. 713-780-3776. The Hive wants to weigh in on the Cam Smith conversation. Third base or right field? Where should he play, even if it's not opening day, whenever he makes his big league debut? 713-780-3776. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. It is the season. It's March, baby. The madness is here. I'm watching basketball right now. I got it up on the TV. I got it up on the computer. You guys are going to have it up on your TVs here pretty soon. Because, the brackets are coming out here pretty soon. Whenever I was a kid, the time that I played basketball the most was in March. Relive the buzzer beaters, relive the wild finishes. And if you have kids, don't you want them to do the same thing? Get them outside, shooting on the goal, shooting some hoops. Stop having them playing on the phone and on the tablet. And if you're going to get a goal, you need to get a goal from Pro Dunk Hoops. Highest quality basketball goals you'll find. Best goals on the planet. Tempered glass backboard. Stainless steel hardware, rust-proof, which is must-have in Houston. Height adjustable, anywhere from 5 feet to 10 feet. You can lower it down to 5 feet so the kids can slam, or you can slam. Their new goal, Thor, you can raise and lower the goals with a drill. Lightning adjust feature, anywhere from 5 to 10 feet in 10 seconds. Their accessories, top-notch. LED light kits for night play. You can play throughout the night. Annoy the neighbors. Pole pad lettering. Backstop nets. Everything. And you can order all of this at ProDunk.com, including professional installation. You know what's annoying? When these places deliver this big box to your driveway, like, hey, here you go, you do the rest. No, that doesn't happen at ProDunk. Their pros are going to professionally install the goal. Perfect height, perfectly straight. You don't have to screw anything up because they're going to do it. Give them a call at 281-351-9822 and visit ProDunk.com. That's ProDunk.com.
ESPN
97.5.
You're locked in with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Come celebrate St. Patrick's Day with ESPN 97.5 all day long at Cobo's in Edo. The party begins at 7 a.m. and Cobo's is opening to the public just for us. So you can start your St. Patty's Day with us bright and early. St. Brackets Day, too. Join the entire ESPN 97.5 lineup at Cobo's this Monday, the 17th. Cannot wait. Going to be a great time. It always is over at Cobo's. Haven't seen Raul in a while. I can't wait. Talk some Cougar basketball with Raul. Yeah, Cobo's Monday. Come hang out with us. ESPN 97.5 all day, St. Patrick's Day. So some people weighing on the Cam Smith conversation. Play him in right field. What happened to Pedro Leon? What are the odds he plays 81 games in the bigs this season? He has a leg injury. He hadn't played in all spring training. The odds of him playing in 81 big league games this season is the same odds as Blanker's playing in 81 big league games this season. It's not happening.
That's not good. No.
Not happening.
No.
Could Melton be the starting center fielder? Not early in the year. I think it's in play if you have Myers and Chaz struggle and Melton produces at the minors. I think that it's in play this season, but not in the first couple of months.
No, and I think that what you said, I think that there's a lot of credibility to the fact that they do believe that there's value to Jake's defense and they want to give him every opportunity. But, I mean, if he just absolutely falls off the planet offensively again, I think it's something they consider.
Oh, yeah, he could definitely lose his job. It's just not happening in the first 2-3 months. Like, they openly talk about, like, him as their dude in center. I watch these player interviews and stuff. Yeah, like, and they're like, oh, yeah, Jake in center. Like, they talk about Jake in center like Altuve hitting leadoff. Like, he is going to be your opening day center fielder. He's going to play center field mostly. Not every day. Chaz might get some starts out there. But he's going to have every opportunity and a pretty big runway to be there everyday guy in center field. Tyler and Conroe Schwab says wild stuff for engagement, and it's super lame. His continued water carrying for Lance McCullers and other players is problematic for me. I could see that, Tyler. I don't think he says crazy stuff. I could totally see the engagement stuff. But from one engagement farmer to another, game respect game, Tyler. All these
just
guys
throw this crap out there to get clicks.
pipe down, Granato. All these guys are professional athletes, and I'm pretty sure they played their whole life playing baseball. Wouldn't you think they would already know how to play all the positions on the baseball field? There's a difference between knowing how to play all the positions on the baseball field and then getting to the big league level where you win games on the margins because it's super, super competitive, and having the capability of playing that position. Could Cam Smith go play center field in a pickup softball game and be the best dude out there? Yes. But when you're talking about the absolute best players in the world and the Astros who have playoff aspirations, could they throw in a corner infield outfielder guy into center field and he could just go out there and like be good at it? No, he would cost them a lot of runs. That's how tight and razor thin success is at the big league level. So I think you're selling it short there, Texter.
Yeah, look, I think there's certain positions where we've highlighted that are less important or easier to play, but I think that, you know, at the end of the day, we're also not talking about your average run of the mill or less than team. We're talking about a really good baseball team too, so it's even more razor thin.
Yeah. One other text on this. Bigger question is, where does Cam hit in the lineup? I personally don't care. I think lineups are overrated unless we're talking about Yordan in the cleanup spot. I would actually like him towards the bottom of the order. I don't like calling up rookies and be like, here you go, bat fifth for us, and then he's in these tough, stressful RBI situations trying to protect the Christian Walkers of the world. I like it whenever they start rookies 7-hole, 8-hole, and you try to make it as stress-free for them.
Let them settle in.
And then, right. And then you let them settle in, and then as time goes on and they kind of, you know, settle in and are producing, that's when you start putting more on their plate. But I like to start them pretty low.
Yeah, because you don't want to put too much on his plate, right? I mean, he already is a guy that is exceeding expectations from the time you got him, and there's extremely high hopes for him. But you don't, as I said when we were talking about, like, when we first started talking about this, if he's going to make the major league roster, and you start talking about, hey, you don't want him to regress because of the fact that there was just too much on his plate or too many expectations, or, you know, we know the guys that they've called up in the past and then they've struggled, like Bregman when he first came up. So you want him to be as comfortable as possible if you're going to put him into kind of like that pressure cooker of just making the roster and playing.
And it's still developmental. Like, I know that this is all to try to make the Astros win the most games that they can. You still have to be mindful of that you're developing a very top prospect, and you need to be careful with, you know, rushing them and putting them in these high, you know, stress, strenuous situations. So that's something that I think Dana Brown will be cognizant of, because he is a scout guy, first and foremost. If Dubon is supposed to be the primary second baseman, why does not leave Cam at third, move Esoc to second, Dubon, Chaz, platoon, right field? I think it's more about what position would Cam be better at. And I know Cam's played more at third base. I think his skill set's better in right. I think you kind of think the same way, Blankers.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I do. And I think, look, I go back to it. But body type-wise, I don't think he's a long-term third baseman anyway. But I think that because he's got a strong arm, that you can easily see and convert him. And you mentioned Pujols, but Pujols ended up at first. You got plenty of guys that have a strong arm that end up being corner outfielders, and the bat is the most important thing, but he has the body type that does not say long-term third baseman to me.
Yeah, I don't think he has a body type to be long-term right field either, but more right than third.
What about left?
I'll see that. Cameron, I think his body type is first, but left would be better.
Yeah.
Left would be better. Mm-hmm. Cam and Wright, Altuve back to second. Dubon is super utility, says Corey. How bad is Altuve got to be to lose at bats? Altuve could be 0 for the season, and he's not losing at bats. He's the face that runs the place. He's not losing at bats. The team hasn't been a run producer the last 2 years. That's not exactly true. It's time to remove the hole. Some of that was done this offseason, but the outfield is still in shambles. So it sounds like Cam to Wright vote there. I don't understand why the Astros are just now having Cam play right field. I think he's pressed the issue. I think the Astros thought that they had more time for him to like kind of learn positions, but his bat's been so good, they're like, man, this is kind of an avenue to get that bat in the lineup quicker. I think Cam pressed the timeline. I feel like they thought that they had more time.
I totally agree. I think that this is why I said they're going to kind of, I thought that they were kind of setting him on the path of being Joey Loperfido, but with more expectations. Like, you know that he's a big-time prospect for you, but I'm just saying, from the standpoint of when they were struggling at first base and Abreu was so bad, well, what did they do? They put Joey Loperfido, who'd played first base a little bit before, at their everyday first base spot in Sugarland. And then you could see him progress, and Bagwell worked with him and all those things. I think they kind of went into this thinking Cam Smith could eventually become an outfielder, so we'll get him reps at both third and outfield wherever he plays in the minor league system. And now because he's torn the cover off of it, everything got sped up.
Exactly. They thought they had more time, which, I mean, it's a good problem. Like, I don't blame them. I don't fault them for that at all. I really don't. All right, Willa Bitts coming up next. We never know what we're going to get with Willa Bitts. We just know that it's going to be elite radio. That's next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN at 92.5. What else is elite? Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. It's beautiful out there. I'm going to get up there pretty soon. But I've been through the area for my entire life. If you're looking to escape the rat race for the weekend, well, Two Creeks Crossing Resort is the perfect place to do it. The hustle and bustle of the job, you're tired of traffic on all the major highways in Houston, you're ready to get away for the weekend. Two Creeks Crossing Resorts, the best weekend idea, and it's only 90 minutes away from the city. You know, you look at all these other places, you got to travel all day, you know, it's short weekends, we don't get much time, do we? You waste all of your time and all of that time off driving to this place that you're trying to get to for rest and relaxation. No, go to Two Creeks Crossing Resort, 90 minutes away, you're there in a jiffy. Escape the city and enjoy the relaxing great outdoors. Book your stay at twocreekscrossingresort.com right now. Open green spaces, wildlife, yeah, beautiful mature trees, and some of the best fishing in Texas. You can't beat that. It's always a great feeling, too, to catch a fish. Just 90 minutes from Houston, as we said, an hour and a half. You can escape the city without traveling too far at Two Creeks Crossing Resort on Lake Livingston. Is hiking your thing? They got 92 acres for you to hike. Kayaking, you can do that. You're into pickleball these days? They got pickleball courts there at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. Or you can just simply hang out by the pool with a drink. Get some real rest and relaxation done. Two Creeks Crossing Resort loves to take care of their visitors, too. They'll have a barbecue cook-off one weekend, a crawfish boil the next weekend. You're always going to have a great time at Two Creeks Crossing Resort. From glamping to cabins, tree houses, just pull up the RV if you have one. They have the perfect stay for anyone. Book your weekend escape now. Just 90 minutes from Houston, twocreekscrossingresort.com. That's twocreekscrossingresort.com.
Subscribe to ESPN Houston for free on YouTube.